This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Before we go to the key lessons, let's just analyze what Ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah had to say about this verse. وَمَا أُبَرِّئُ نَفْسِي إِنَّ النَّفْسَ لَأَمَّارَةٌ بِالسُّوءِ. Who said these words? Was it, as most of the scholars of tafsir said, the words of Yusuf alayhi salam, or was it the wife of Aziz? Okay. Tafsir analysis of Ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah. وَمَا أُبَرِّئُ نَفْسِي إِنَّ النَّفْسَ لَأَمَّارَةٌ بِالسُّوءِ إِلَّا مَا رَحِمَ رَبِّي إِنَّ رَبِّي غَفُورٌ رَحِيمٌ. I don't say myself was free from blame. The self indeed commands to evil acts, except for those my Lord has mercy on. My Lord, He is forgiving, merciful. Verse number 53. These words are clearly that of the wife of Aziz. Whoever contemplates over this verse and those preceding it will have no doubt that they are her words. She said this whilst Yusuf alayhi salam is still inside prison. He does not see or hear this conversation that takes place with the king. But when his innocence is professed in his absence, the wife of Aziz says, "In this way he may know at last that I did not dishonor him behind his back." Many mufassirun state that both of these are the statements of Yusuf alayhi salam, and moreover do not state alongside it the other view. And this is the height of corruption. It has no proof for it, but rather the evidence is point to the contrary.
So Ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah, he starts by stating what he believes to be the correct view, which is that this is all, okay, what was said before when she is confessing, and then when she, then what was said about, well, that was said in order that he would know that I'm not deceiving him, as well as this statement, وَمَا أُبَرِّئُ نَفْسِي, all of that is the kalam of the wife of Aziz and no one else. Now the thing he's pointing out here, which he really, really doesn't like, is that at the end of the day, there are two views. Yeah, there's two views. Some said it's the words of Yusuf and some said it's the words of Imra'atul Aziz. Now, at the very least, a person or scholar of tafsir writing his book of tafsir should, as a bare minimum, say there's two views here. Yeah? And he says that many of them, they don't mention the other view. And not mentioning the other view, he said, it's the height of yani fasad. It's the height of corruption. This is saying yani, eliminating the other view and not stating it, yani, is a form of corruption. The very strong words, okay, very strongly supporting this first view. Now what's gonna happen is he cites 11 pieces of evidence to show why not only this view is correct, that it's the words of Imra'atul Aziz, but also that the other opinion is very problematic. I didn't get around to translating, summarizing all 11. I just took 4 of which I felt was the strongest, okay, and the most beneficial to us.
Ibn Taymiyyah cites 11 pieces of evidence to prove this point. The summary of 4 of them now follows. Number 1. Yusuf alayhi salam was someone who deeply feared the standing before his Lord, and this was the only reason he would avoid sinning. He was a young, unmarried man in a foreign land living as a slave, and there were no friends or family members around that would make him shy away from doing shameful things.
He's saying that, you know, there was so many reasons why Yusuf alayhi salam, against Yusuf alayhi salam. He was unmarried when he's living there as a slave in the house of Aziz, and Imra'atul Aziz was there. Moreover, he's got no friends and family there. Moreover, he's a slave. Moreover, he's in a foreign country. I think we covered this, that the fitna was compounded, was made worse by so many different factors. And so he's stating some of them there. And then he will now say that if anybody else had been in that situation, they would have done. Yeah, they would have done the sin.
This is usually the case with most people.
as the biggest inhibiting factor keeping them from doing shameful things is being found out by those who know them. When they know they won't be found out, they go ahead and do whatever they wish. The circumstances for Yusuf alayhi salam were far worse. Not only would no one he knew find out if he committed the sin, but he was being compelled by a rich and powerful woman who was also his master, yet he refused. How then can we describe his nafs as being one that commands to evil acts? Rather, the nafs of Yusuf alayhi salam was the purest of souls. Indeed, he felt ham, but he treated it with taqwa and left pursuing it for the sake of Allah, and in turn Allah wrote for him a reward. If anything, it only serves to further elevate the purity of his nafs.
So here Ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah is saying that according to that view, the nafs of Yusuf alayhi salam, ammara bisu, okay, it's a nafs which is not a healthy nafs. It's a nafs that's commanding him to do evil, which says a lot about the person. Yani, if my nafs is like this, then what type of person am I? Yeah. He's saying, but look at his life. He was put under tremendous pressure to commit this act of zina, wal-iyadh billah, yet he refused, despite feeling desire. Yeah, which adds to the whole complexity that I actually did, you know, for a moment there, feel to do that. Yet I held myself back, and Ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah says that he treated that desire, that harm, with taqwa. And Allah Jalla wa'ala saw that and saved him from the sin. Which shows, if anything, he's got a very pure soul. Yeah? If anything, it shows he's got a pure soul. No, he's got a corrupt soul. So yani, that's the first point. That if you look at his life, and up to this point, all it proves is that he's got a very pure soul. So why would he then come and then say, "Inna nafsa al-ammara bisu," my soul, or implying that my soul is one that inclines to do sin? Does it make sense?
Number two, regarding the words, "That is so he will know that I did not betray him in his absence." If it means, as they claim, that it was Yusuf alayhi salam saying this regarding Aziz and not wanting to deceive him behind his back, or that he didn't want to deceive his Lord, as most of them do say, then there is nothing in the statement that indicates this. To say that it was his statement is to suggest that he decided against doing the sin for the sake of his master and not wanting to deceive him behind his back.
Now, so here Ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah is saying that if we say that the words ذَلِكَ لِيَعْلَمَ أَنِّي لَمْ أَخُنْهُ بِالْغَيْبِ mean Yusuf alayhi salam is saying that I didn't do it. Why? Well, I didn't want to deceive Aziz behind his back. Then what you're saying is that Yusuf alayhi salam didn't do haram because of a worldly reason. Isn't that what you're saying? And if you're saying ذَلِكَ لِيَعْلَمَ أَنِّي لَمْ أَخُنْهُ بِالْغَيْبِ, it means if it wasn't for him, who knows? Or yani, that, well, the main reason why I didn't do this haram is because he would have found out. Now, is that a religious person? Is that a prophet of Allah? Would the prophet of Allah yani, think like that, behave like that? That he's motivated, you know, to avoid sin because the guy over there is going to find out if I do it. Many, some people are like that, but prophets of Allah, salihin, is that the way they think?
However, Yusuf alayhi salam left the sin out of the fear of Allah and hope in his reward, knowing that all the while Allah was watching him. He didn't avoid it simply because of worldly reasons.
Now, so here Ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah states that yani, the reason why Yusuf alayhi salam left the sin is because of Allah. No one save Allah. Either because he feared Allah and the punishment, or because he wanted the reward from Allah for abstaining from doing something he wanted to do. That is the only reason why such a person would avoid doing sin. And if that is the case, why would he then later on say, "I didn't do it because he would find out that I deceived him"? Doesn't make sense.
Allah said about that incident, وَلَقَدْ هَمَّتْ بِهَا لَوْلَا أَرْوَأَ بُرْهَانَ رَبِّهِ. So Allah informed us that Yusuf alayhi salam saw the burhan of his Lord, and that is what helped him refrain. Then Allah stated that he was truly one of our servants. Now, whoever leaves something haram because others will find out, then it cannot be said about him that he left it due to seeing the burhan of his Lord, and nor can it be viewed as a type of ikhlas.
This is a very, very strong point. He's saying, rahimahullah, that Allah actually told us why he didn't do the sin in the first place. لَوْلَا أَرَّأَ بُرْهَانَ رَبِّي, that he saw the burhan of his master. Now, what did we say was the interpretation of burhan? What was the burhan that he said he saw? We've got one answer here. What was the burhan that we said Yusuf alayhi salam, Allah is saying he saw, and that held him back from doing the sin? Ali's bursting to get this. No one else remembers. Someone take a guess then. What did he see? Yeah, brothers, no one remembers. Ajib. Now, Ali. That's the linguistic meaning of burhan, a strong proof. But what was the tafsir? What do we say they actually saw? Or any? Yeah. Yes, yeah. Huh? And he saw or experienced, yani. What's the tafsir? Huh? Very good, mashaAllah, mashaAllah. Ahsant. What we said is, Ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah said the burhan of his Rabb was the iman in his heart. That the iman in his heart is what kept him from doing that sin. So Allah already told us why he didn't do it. And the reason was iman. Okay? And then Allah, you know, spoke about Yusuf alayhi salam in the most praiseworthy way and said, "Innahu min ibadina al-mukhlasin." Indeed, Yusuf alayhi salam is from my chosen servants, meaning someone who has ikhlas. So, how can you then say that he said, "Thalika liya'lam anni lam akhunhu bil ghayb," that I didn't do it because Aziz would have found out, or I didn't want to deceive Aziz? If somebody said, if that was true, then it would mean that he didn't do it because Aziz would find out. But Allah already said he didn't do it because of iman, and that he's a mukhlis. Now, if he's a mukhlis, and yet he's not doing things, or he's doing things for the sake of others, then how can he be a mukhlis? How can he be a sincere person? A sincere person is someone who does things for the sake of Allah and Allah alone. And yet you're saying that he didn't do something haram because somebody else would find out? Do you see? It doesn't go. He's a mukhlis or he's not a mukhlis? Which one is it? If he is, it means he didn't abstain from doing something because someone from creation would find out. Okay? Now.
Number 3. Khiyana is the opposite of amana, and both go hand in hand with lying and honesty respectively.
Khiyana, يعني, we can translate it as deception, is the opposite of amana, which you can translate to be trustworthiness. Yeah? So deception is the opposite of trustworthiness. And he said it goes hand in hand with lying and honesty respectively. Meaning the person who is a liar, he's also somebody who can deceive. As opposed to somebody who is trustworthy, then usually that person is also very honest as well.
That is why the Arabs say As-Sadiq Al-Amin and Al-Kadhib Al-Khain. And this is how we describe the wife of Aziz, as she lied about Yusuf alayhi salam when she accused him before her husband, and then again to get him imprisoned, which was done behind his back, and this is deception.
So he said, look, let's go at it from another angle now. Okay? لَمْ أَخُنْهُ بِالْغَيْبِ, so that he would know that I didn't deceive him behind his back. Who is the one doing the deceiving all along? Who's the one who's been deceiving other people? Is it Yusuf alayhi salam, or is it the Imra'atul Aziz. It's Imra'atul Aziz. And on top of that, what is known is that someone who deceives also lies. Who's been telling lies? Imra'atul Aziz. So he goes, even if you come at it from another angle, which is to say, okay, this person is saying, I didn't want to deceive him when he was behind his back, then who's the one we've been told is doing the deceiving all along? Is it Imra'atul Aziz or Yusuf alayhi salam? In fact, we've been told the opposite about Yusuf alayhi salam, that he's from the Sadiqeen, he's from the honest people. And honesty and trustworthiness go hand in hand. So he's the one being described as trustworthy and honest, and she's the one that's being described as deceptive and lying. So why, oh why, would you then say here, this is about the trustworthy, honest person saying that, oh, I didn't want to deceive the other person. Yeah?
When eventually found out, she admitted it was her all along, Sadiqa, and then wanted to show loyalty and integrity, Amina, stating that Yusuf alayhi salam is, and always was, of the truthful.
What is yani quite ironic is that the one who calls him a Sadiq is the one who actually does the deceiving in the first place. So she's already making a distinction that we're very different. He's a Sadiq, trustworthy, and I'm the one who deceives and lies. Okay, so if she's already said that he's Sadiq, then how can you bring a view which is saying that Yusuf is describing himself as somebody who could have deceived or didn't want to deceive?
No. So the brother asked a question, which is that she's already admitted before this that she tried to seduce Yusuf alayhi salam and that he refused. So how comes here now we're calling her a liar?
Yeah. So there's two things. First thing is that she was saying that in a closed group, only to the women, her friends. And she wasn't saying it out of honesty. She was actually saying it in a very twisted way, which is that, you women, look at you guys, the way you behave when you see him. Yeah? And that's just you seeing his physical beauty. As for me, I tried it on him and I saw his inner beauty. Fasta'asam. She wasn't saying it, oh, I'm guilty as hell. She was saying, well, what do you know? You only saw him from his outward beauty. Fasta'asam, he refused me when I tried it with him. Meaning he's got integrity and upright character. Meaning he's got beauty on the inside and he's got beauty on the outside. I've seen both and you're blaming me. Yeah. She's lied repeatedly, which is the second thing. She's lied the moment wastabaq al-bab. They ran to the door, husband turns up. What does she say? Punish him. He's trying to rape me. Yeah? On top of that again, when it came down to it, she said, I'm going to imprison you. If you don't do it, I'm going to imprison you. Which means, I'm going to tell everyone that you tried it on me and I'm going to imprison you. Did she do it? She went ahead and done it again. Yeah? So she's repeatedly lied. Naam. And this alongside being deceptive, trying to do things behind the back of a husband, trying to yani, be deceptive with Yusuf alayhi salam, trap him. So there's deception and there's a great deal of lying as well.
As for the one who commits adultery, then this is not technically viewed as khiyana or negating amana, but it is more to do with dhulm and su' and fahisha. And this is how Allah described this act early on when He said, إِنَّهُ رَبِّي أَحْسَنَ مَثْوَايِ إِنَّهُ لَا يُفْلِحُ الظَّالِمُونَ. Allah did not say that the خَائِنُون will not succeed, but rather ظَالِمُون. Immediately after, Allah then says, كَذَلِكَ لِنَصْرِفَ عَنْهُ السُّوءُ وَالْفَحْشَاءُ. Allah did not say that He turned khiyana away from Yusuf alayhi salam, but rather su' and fahsha. The person of sound intellect should reflect over these subtleties in the Book of Allah.
Now, so Ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah is really bringing a very technical point here, which you may find difficult to understand, okay? But just follow his train of thought. He's saying, okay, let's say Yusuf alayhi salam is actually saying, Lam akhunhu bil ghayb. I didn't want to do khiyana. I didn't want to deceive somebody, okay? I didn't want to deceive somebody. So you're saying that he didn't want to deceive someone regarding doing zina. Yeah? That's right, that's what we're saying. Well, he said, if you go back, when Allah spoke about zina, He never described it, or the one who does it, as being a kha'in, a deceiver. Allah described that person as being zalim. Yeah? He said earlier on, إِنَّهُ لَا يُفْلِحُ ظَالِمُونَ, that this person, which person? The one who actually does zina, adultery, Allah will not make him successful. How did He describe the him? As being a zalim. Yeah? So Allah described the person that does adultery, not being a deceiving person, but being an oppressive person. Yeah? Doing dhulm. And because he's doing dhulm on her husband by committing wal-iyad, adultery with his wife. Okay, so I'll describe it as being dhulm and not being khiyana. Then Allah described the actual act itself as being su' and fahsha. Yeah, su' and fahsha. He described it as being su', sin, and indecency. Yeah, but if you go forward and look at this verse, you're saying that sin is being described as being deception and lying. So Allah is describing that sin as something completely different. Yeah? Which means it's not about the same thing. It's not about the same thing. That's about Yusuf alayhi salam staying away from zina, which Allah described as su' and fahsha. This is about her being treacherous to both her husband as well as Yusuf alayhi salam. And that makes more sense. Yeah? Because a person that does zina, wal-iyadu billah, is a zalim, not a kha'in. But a person who lies and tries to plot against others, they a kha'in. Yeah? And that means that the one this verse is referring to is the Imra'atul Aziz, not Yusuf al-Islam. Do you understand that point? And if you don't, Ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah is telling you that you need to reflect over the subtleties in this kitab. Meaning, use your brains, okay? Read and do tadabbur. If you do tadabbur, he's saying you'll come to this conclusion. Okay, what's the last point then?
Number 4. Statement. The self indeed commands to evil acts, except for those my Lord has mercy on. Shows us that some people are not overwhelmed by the nafs ammara bisu'. These are those whom Allah has mercy on. These are in fact protected souls, marhuma.
Now, so you have to follow this very carefully, step by step. First point, Allah says in the Quran here, okay, that inna nafsa la ammaratun bisu. Indeed, the soul compels or commands you to do evil. Then Allah says, illa, except. Illa ma rahima rabbi, except the soul on which Allah has mercy. Which means that some people, their soul is unable to command them to do evil. Agree or not? Illa ma rahima rabbi. It means this is a general rule, but there's an exception. Do you get this? Some people's souls is unable to command them to do evil because Allah is having mercy on them. Do you get this point? Yeah? Okay, let's move on. And then he names that soul. He says, those souls are marhuma, meaning they're recipients of mercy, and therefore protected.
This then means souls can be placed into two categories. Number 1, marhuma, and number 2, ammara.
So this is basically just making that point clear. So if we can say, okay, there's two types of people. One, ammara, means their soul is able to command the evil. Then you got another type of category of people. Their souls are unable to command them to do evil. They are marhuma. Okay, so two categories.
We know for sure that the soul of the wife of Aziz was continually pushing her to do evil. Time and time again, she tried to seduce Yusuf alayhi salam. And time and time again, she lied to cover up her tracks and thereafter involved her friends to pressure him further and then lastly imprisoning him.
So, if you had to put the soul of Imra'atul Aziz into one of those categories, which one would you put the soul into? The soul that is inclined to do evil, right? Now I was going to say, if you had to put the soul of Yusuf alayhi salam into one of those two categories,
Which one would it be?
This is the worst form of a soul that is of the Amara category. As for Yusuf alayhi salam, if we were to say that he also was of this category, then there is no one person who could then be classed as being from the Marhuma type.
So he says that if you're also going to put Yusuf alayhi salam into that category, then by the way, there's no one in that category. And if Yusuf alayhi salam is going to be put into Amara Bisu category, it means there's no one in this category. Do you see what he's saying? And if you're saying that he's there, is there anyone better than him? No. Which means there's no one in this category. So what is the exception that Allah is making then? If Yusuf alayhi salam isn't from the exception, who is from the exception then? Yeah. Do you see where he's going with this?
No. Whoever reflects over the story of Yusuf alayhi salam will learn that he was the one being showed rahmah to and protected from evil in the most splendid way. There is none from the Salihin, from the greatest of them or from the lower ranks, who, when put through this kind of trial, would have responded in the same way as Yusuf alayhi salam and thereby have his soul protected in this way.
So now he just speaks about Yusuf alayhi salam. He says the reality is that if any other person, even from the most righteous, was in the same position as Yusuf alayhi salam, they would not have behaved in the same way as Yusuf alayhi salam. No one would have. Yeah. So he's at the... So see what he's just done? He's actually said at the number one from the other category is Imratul Aziz. And number one from the other category is Yusuf alayhi salam. Yeah. Nobody else would have behaved in that circumstance, in those tough circumstances, in the way that Yusuf alayhi salam did. Uh-huh. So, if he was able to avoid doing the sin, it means that Allah was having mercy on him. If Allah was having mercy on him, it means that he is part of that other category, which is marhuma. And not from that other category, which is Amara.
If this is the case, and yet we can say that Yusuf alayhi salam's soul was not marhuma, then there is no soul out there that could be considered as marhuma. And that would mean that all souls are inclined to do evil, which stands in contradiction to what the Quran says.
Now, Jazakumullah khair, barakallahu feekum, very good. So, he's saying at the end of the day, if you follow this trail of thought, this other view that Yusuf alayhi salam was saying this, it leads you to a point where you're actually contradicting the Quran. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us, إِلَّا مَا رَحِمَ رَبِّي, that some souls will not be able to command the person to do evil. And if you said Yusuf alayhi salam is not the exception, he's rather on the other side, it means that there is no exception. And if there is no exception, you just contradicted the Quran. So this is why, my brothers and sisters, why Ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah is so, you may say aggressive or forthcoming in proving the point. Because he genuinely feels that this is highly problematic. Yeah. And in that case, it needs to be looked at properly and carefully. This is the reason why. Because at the end of the day, not only does it not make sense, it can lead a person to effectively contradict some part of the Quran. Okay, so let's just end now with some key lessons. What do we learn from this passage? One thing we learned is that a human's conscience is independent of religion. You can be an atheist and have a conscience and good morals. Yeah. So Imra'atul Aziz, she was a mushrika, non-Muslim, yet she recognized some good things. And in the end she did decide to do the one good thing, which is to confess to doing what she did. Now she didn't have access to Islam. Yeah, most probably she was given no da'wah whatsoever. Yet she did some good things. How? Well, reality is Allah placed a fitrah inside all of us. And that fitrah enable us to do some good things and to stay away from some bad things. There's one thing to add here about the fitrah. Some groups from ancient times, okay, just in the second century of Islam, around 200, known as the Mu'tazilis, they came up with another view regarding fitrah. Their view is that the fitrah that Allah spoke about is just regarding a state of naivety
inside a human being. Every human being is born on the fitrah, meaning he is sadhij. What does sadhij mean? It means he's naive. What does that mean? Well, it means that if somebody came and said Islam is the truth and proved it to him, he would accept. That's all it means. It's just naive. Not sure, but I'm ready to accept. You know, like a door with the where the key goes in the lock. And the lock cannot sense which key is the right key. When the right key does come, it clicks. Tayyib. So is that what the fitrah is? A human being is naive, doesn't know. Is this the right interpretation? Is this the right understanding? No, it is not. In fact, this is how many of us actually, without knowing, view the fitrah. Fitrah, yani, is just you're an innocent person, yani, you don't know. Don't know any better. This or that, I don't know. I'm just innocent. La. Al-fitrah, okay, as some of the Salaf said, it is Islam. What does that mean? It means it is Islam, you are already submissive to Allah when you're born. You're already submissive to Him. And even, you know, behavioral psychologists, recently, there was a paper about how one of them said that children are intrinsically born to believe in a creator. Non-Muslim. He said the studies show that the child already born to believe in the creator. So, and it is so evident that we have within inside of us not just a state of naivety, but already geared towards submitting ourselves to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and feel uncomfortable about doing shirk with Allah and not worshipping Him. Both things, the good and the evil. That moral compass already placed inside of us. Now, the second lesson is that the truth will always come to light. Al-ana hashas al-haq. Okay, Rashid Rida said, yani that teaches us that at the end of the day, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made it part of His sunnah that the truth will become manifest. One day will come out. Okay, and some other scholars added to that. That is particularly the case regarding people that try their best to lie and cover up the truth. Yeah, lie and cover up the truth. And we're seeing this now in our times, you know, with the recent expose on the CIA and the torture reports. The Americans of all people are torturing people. The reason why they say they go to war to stop these barbaric things happening in these countries, they do it themselves. And they try and cover it up. But what do you know? Al-ana hashas al-haq. Yeah? In the end, the truth came out. You are doing the most despicable things. Your own selves. And it goes up right to the top of the chain. Yeah? Everyone knows about it. What do you know? And so we are being taught, yani. This is the case. This is the reality. Especially when there's people trying their best to lie and cover up something. Allah will expose that in the end. Number three lesson. Deception is an impediment to receiving huda. Yeah? Allah, the verse before. وَأَنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يَهْدِي كَيْدَ الْخَائِنِينَ. And Allah does not guide the plot of the deceiving people. That teaches us that if a person is a deceptive type of person, then that part of his character will actually stop him receiving guidance from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Okay? And this is something we find that some brothers, religious brothers, you see them, big beards, mashallah, studying Islam. Yet they manipulate and take advantage of some sisters. Okay? What do I mean? Many cases of sisters coming to a Sharia council and saying, I got married to this brother, and he said, he saw many good things about himself, and when I spoke to him, he said, he knows Arabic, and he studied here, and he studied there, and he said, marry me. So I said, let's get married. How do you want to get married? Over Skype. Over Skype? What do you want to get married over Skype for? Oh, what's the point, yani? Let's more barakah in having a simple nikah. I'm serious. This is actually happening. Actually happening. Even subhanAllah, Shaykh, just the boys. Any one real case, okay, I was in the Sharia Council, and they take phone appointments as well. Yeah. So a phone call comes in, sister wants a fatwa, and what's the fatwa? What's the mas'ala? Mas'ala is that, I got married to his brother. Sorry. I want to get married to this brother, and he wants to get married over Skype. I'm just saying that the Sheikh is there as well. The Sheikh says, you want to get married over Skype, why don't you get married in person? She goes, well, he said that that's the best thing to do, to get over Skype, and his friend can be the witness, and my friend can be my witness, and the two witnesses, and he said, my wali, he doesn't pray, he's not wali anymore. So, what do you know? I don't even need a wali. So the Sheikh said, what do you say? What did he say when you said, let's get married in person? She said that, he said, he can't right now. That sounds a bit strange. The Sheikh said, what are you going to do after you get married? Is there going to be consummation of the marriage or what? And she said, yeah. He said, after we get the nikah done, he's going to come and consummate the marriage. So the Sheikh said, he can come after you get the nikah done, but he can't come before you get the nikah done. Sister, are you sure this is, I'm advising you don't? She goes, no, he's a good brother. I heard so many good things about him. And he said to me that he doesn't want to do any zina, and don't want no free mixing, and he wants to do hijrah from the Darul Kufr or Darul Iman. And he's a good brother. Seriously, the Sheikh saying, sister, listen to me, don't do this. Don't do this. Do you know how he says, I know they have done this and they're being manipulated. They get married through this way, the brother comes and enjoys and then gives talaq and he's gone. And he's doing this multiple times with different people. She said, seriously? He goes, yeah. Take my advice. Ma'a salama. So, this deceptive mentality and this issue is wrong on so many levels. But the message today is that this mentality, this deception, though you may think, oh, it's only to do with the haqq of somebody else and it's not to do with aqeedah, for example. What we're being taught today is that Allah doesn't guide that type of person. That type of person, just because of that thing they're doing in their life, is preventing them from guidance. And if they continue, what do you know? You may end up, no guidance in your life whatsoever. No. Last one, not all people are overcome by nafs ammara bisu. Ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah said this point, and he said, we've spoken about this, that Allah Jalla wa'ala said, inna nafsa la ammaratun bisu. This is the general rule. Illa ma rahima rabbi, except the soul which Allah has mercy on. Why would Allah have mercy on that type of soul? What would make that soul the exception? Well, when Allah sees that that person is trying to flee from sin, just like Yusuf alayhi salam, wastabaq al-bab, tried to flee from sin, then Allah will have mercy on that soul. And that's exactly what happened to Yusuf alayhi salam. He tried, Allah saw him try, Allah protected him. Yeah. So that is how we become from that category. So may Allah make us from that category of souls that He has mercy on and prevents us from doing sin. We come to the end of the dars today. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdika, ashhadu an la ilaha illa ant, astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk.